Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. We are 2 weeks away from the start of the baseball season. Not spring training, not the World Series, the start of baseball. And Tim and I are here every week, as we just said. And Tim, I got to tell you, it's getting close and it feels really good.
Oh, does it ever, Rich. I guess tonight we should say live from the Grand Ole Opry. Is that about right?
Yeah, howdy there, Timmy. I am actually in Nashville. I'm on my my laptop computer. I have a very good connection, I believe. But it's going to be a bit of a short show, Tim, because I've got to get back to an event that I scooted out of for an hour to do this show. And it's one of those things where it's a lot of people down there, bands playing, the whole thing. They were playing a Cars song and a country twang, Tim, and I thought that was sacrilegious.
I would have a tendency to want to agree. That would be like Ozzy Osbourne doing hip-hop.
Exactly, Tim. But I got to tell you, have you ever had barbecued macaroni and cheese?
No, I haven't. I tried it once, but it kept falling between the grills, Rich.
It was actually pretty good. It was macaroni and cheese with barbecue sauce mixing. I thought it was actually pretty good. But so, Tim, I am in Nashville. I'll be here for a couple more days, and it's back off down to Florida. I was there most of last week and had a beautiful, great time. Tim, get this, 80 degree weather, not a cloud in the sky.
Well, you know, we had 80 degrees too, Rich, but we had to add up all 7 days to get there.
Okay. That's the way it is. Guys, if you want to reach out and get a hold of us, the best way to do that is on the Twitter, at Timothy LMC. At Timothy LMC is the great Tim McCloud. Of course, myself, at Rich Wilson FSG, at Rich Wilson FSG. Guys, we have 3 days left until you can vote for us on the podcastawards.com. That's podcastawards with an S.com. Simply go there. The 24th, at the end of the 24th, which is my birthday, is the last day that you can vote. Simply scroll all the way down past the mature section, the religious section. You'll see the sports there at the bottom. We're all the way at the last entry. Simply click that on, vote for us. You can vote once a day. You can use as many email addresses as you want. Vote, vote, vote. Tim, it would be such a thrill and an honor for us to win this award. It's going to be tough. I got to tell you, we're going against ESPN properties and wrestling shows. But, you know, hey, we got a loyal fan following, and we get almost 13 or 14,000 downloads a week. So if everybody can go out and vote once a day, we should win.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely awesome, Rich. And you're right. You know, say a prayer, skip the porn, move on to us.
Exactly. That's very funny, Tim. That's very, very good. The other thing that you can do is go out to our Facebook page. It is run by the great Alan Servinus. Does a great job out there. It's a very, very active site. It's called prospect361.com. Dynasty League groups, there's a lot of stuff out there besides Dynasty League talk, keeper talk, just regular baseball talk. And of course, you can go out and rate and review us, and we'd love for you to do that. Some shows, Tim, are actually will give away money for people to go out and write them a review. I was listening to a financial show, an investment show, and a guy gave like money to people to give them a good rating. So I went out and took a look at the ratings, and he had like 1,000 reviews, and they were all 5-star. I'm going, okay, well, that's one way to do it, but we don't do that, Tim. We have no money.
Well, and you know what? It sort of brings me to question that, like, this is an investment show, Rich. I'm sorry, but I don't know. Is it that good of an investment?
It was something about real estate, Tim, and I was listening to it, and it sounded shady to me. And I was like, well, if you want all my advice, just go out and rate and review us, and I'll send you all my literature and blah, blah, blah. They were talking flipping houses and buying paper, and I didn't understand it. I said, that's not for me, but it was rated highly, and I'd like to hear what people are doing. Maybe get some tips, Tim. And the only tip I heard is if you pay people to listen to your show, they probably will.
Well, you know, hey, who am I to argue with that concept? If somebody wanted to slip me a quick 50, I could probably review their show at least once or twice myself.
And starting next week, Tim, for the next 4 weeks, we will be reading advertisements. So we actually have a sponsor for the next 4 weeks. And I actually had to go to mandatory training. And it was pretty cool because I'm on this mandatory training on Friday. It was about 15 minutes. And it was ESPN and Fox Sports and all these big affiliates and me. So I felt like I belonged there for a minute. They go, what are you with? I go, Prospect 361 on Blog Talk Radio. And literally there was like, what? So, but I bet you we have more listeners than those other stations do.
Well, yeah, we may not have the big name backing, but hey, we got a slew of listeners. And, you know, hey, that's what counts. We have a lot of people that enjoy what we do, and that's the name of the game.
Tim, let's get quick out of the gate. I think this is going to be a fun little thing, and it's fill in the blank, Tim. I don't know how I came up with this idea, but I think it's kind of fun. And so let's just go at it. So I've got, I think, 10 questions here for you. I'll chime in a little bit. Here's the first one, Tim. I don't care how long he stays at the top of the queue. I'm not drafting blank.
Nelson Cruz.
That's a good one, Tim. Nelson Cruz. No, why not? Just the wrong park, a little bit of an aberration last year?
Well, I think it's a little bit of an aberration, but think back to Adrian Beltre when he left the Dodgers to go to Seattle. Think back to last year and Cano leaving New York and heading to Seattle. Nelson Cruz and all that power moving to Seattle, it just doesn't work for me, Rich. Not at all.
I totally agree with you, Tim. I like that one a lot. And I think mine is going to be, I'm going to go with Chris Davis. You know, I know he's back on the Adderall. I think that'll help. But unless you're in an on-base percentage league, it's a batting average league, I think the aberration, Tim, was 2013 and is not, I think 2014 might be more his baseline than 2013. So I'm going to tap out. I'm not going to get Chris Davis.
Yeah, that sounds fair enough. The only thing with Davis is if you're in an OBP league, it changes the game a lot. And that third base eligibility, that does, depending on where he falls, it sort of catches my attention.
I agree, and I will admit to that, Tim, and I agree with you, and I kind of made that comment as well. So that is my selection there. Let's move on to the second one. If Clayton Kershaw is not the best player in baseball, I should have said pitcher, is not the best pitcher in baseball, then blank will be this year.
Well, my first reaction was I just went with best player, and Clayton Kershaw is not the best player in baseball. It's Mike Trout, hands down. This year, if we go not the best pitcher, I'm going to go with David Price.
Interesting. Tell me more about that, Tim.
Well, David Price was born in... No, just kidding. I know you're on a tough time schedule here. I like Price. He's consistent. Mechanics are good. We've never had any issues, health issues from Price. He's pitching for a good team in the Tigers. It'll give him lots of run support. And, you know, I know sometimes we put a little bit too much stock in the fact that free agency is just around the corner, and we probably shouldn't, but lingering in the back of my mind is the fact that I think Price is going to have a real good year setting himself up for a very nice payday.
Plus, I'm just a big fan of David Price, Tim, and I'm going to tell you why. His tweet was yesterday, and Chris Bryant, we're going to talk a lot about Chris Bryant today, Tim, and he tweeted this out. I've told myself to not tweet about Chris Bryant, but I can't help it. Wow, man, exclamation mark. His homers are my batting practice hitting from second base, and I got pop. I mean, that is a great tweet, man.
Yeah, it sure is, and it shows a level of respect that a veteran player has for the kid.
Agree, and a guy that kind of gets how to communicate with the public, because you're giving props to a guy who's not on your team, by the way, and you're saying, wow, this is really cool. And then he's self-effacing there, Tim. So he's self-deprecating, excuse me, where he's like saying, you know, I can't do that. And I can do it maybe from second base, but I can't do what he's doing.
Yeah, no, I can't do what you're doing either. I'm just Googling three of those words, Rich.
Okay. Yeah, I think I got the words all mixed up, Tim. What do I know? I'm not a communicator. I'm not a broadcaster. I'm just a guy behind a computer.
doing and talking about what you want.
Tim, my selection, I think it's Steven Strasburg's year. I really like Steven Strasburg a lot this year. He's I think it's all going to come together. This, again, was the best pitcher to come out of college in years, and maybe before David Price was kind of the last great college pitcher that came out. I think you're going to see a big step up from Strasburg. And I think David Price and Strasburg have two things in common, and that is they play for really good baseball teams. So in a fantasy team that values wins, I think they're both going to have 15+, probably brinking on 20 if they stay healthy.
Can't argue with that assessment one iota, Rich.
Blank and blank will steal more than 30 bases, and I'm going to grab them late in my draft. Tim, I only have one thing because I forgot that I actually had two, so I'm going to give that one away and then let you go with two. I got Dalton Pompey. I did get a chance to see Dalton Pompey this week, and I got to tell you, Tim, I'm really impressed with this kid. I've seen him a ton in the minor leagues. I've seen him in the Arizona Fall League. He's not a quick twitch athlete at all. I mean, he's not Jose Reyes, because if you see both of those guys run, Jose Reyes looks like he's running fast. Dalton Pompey runs more like a deer, can run faster than Jose Reyes, but doesn't look like he's running fast. He kind of reminds me of Devon White, same team, center fielder, great center fielder, just that kind of really good athlete that's got great raw speed and really doesn't look like he's turning it on, but he's moving.
Yeah, and you know what? I think he's going to fill out. A good friend of mine, Buck Davidson, he's in Tampa Bay, and he had an opportunity to watch the Canadian junior team and Dalton's younger brother playing today. He's 17 years old. Do you want to guess as to height and weight on this 17-year-old younger brother?
I heard about Dalton Pompey playing against his brother in the Canadian League, but I don't know, Tim. You're probably going to tell me he's a big boy.
6'4", 205 as a 17-year-old.
That's a big kid. That's a big kid. Tim, who are your two guys that are going to steal 30-plus bases and really going to get them late in the draft?
Well, you got the one in Pompey, so I've just got one other, and that's Rajay Davis. He always steals 30-plus bases. He's falling this year in drafts down to the last 5-6 rounds. So, hey, I think if you're looking for 30 bases, Davis will be the guy to give it to you.
It's funny you mentioned Davis, Tim, because when I realized it was a blank and a blank, I was quickly looking through and I saw Rajah Davis and I go, So I would concur with that. It's a good one. Tim, let's go to now power. Blank and blank. Where's my questions here? Blank and blank will hit more than 25 home runs and I'm going to grab them late in my draft. Timmy?
Well, you know, at one point in time, I would have got Oswaldo Arcia late in my draft, but I've been driving his value up, so he's no longer late, but he'd be one. And the other one is slim and trim and definitely showed up to camp in good shape, Ryan Howard.
Really, Tim? Well, I know you picked him in Tout War, so I kind of get the love there, and I see that. I actually saw Ryan Howard. He didn't look all that much trimmer to me, but maybe I don't know. It's funny because the Yankees are talking. I did watch a game at Yankee Stadium, people, I don't know if you read the reports, but apparently everybody's doing terrible at night games at George Steinbrenner Field because apparently the lights aren't bright enough. Tim, I wasn't out there swinging the bat, but it looked perfectly light to me. So I don't know what people are saying during spring training here.
Well, maybe it's just some things aren't bright in New York this year. Maybe that's maybe a better way of putting it.
Maybe so, Timmy. I've got, besides Oswaldo Arcia, so we're both really in on Oswaldo Arcia, I've got Chris Davis. That's C-H-R-I-S, Chris Davis. I'm still a big fan. I think there's 25 home run power. The other Chris Davis was the C-H-R-I-S, Chris Davis. Blank and blank will strike out 200 batters, and yet to do that, excuse me, let me repeat this, Tim. I probably wrote it poorly. Blank and Blake will strike out 200 batters and has yet to do that in his professional career.
Okay, I'm going with Drew Hutchison of the Jays and Colin McHugh in Houston.
That, if you're right, Tim, that tears me up because in one of our dynasty leagues, I had Colin McHugh And I also grabbed Chase Anderson, and I had both of those. And I said, I analyzed both of them, and I said, I'm throwing back Colin McHugh. So I kept Chase Anderson over Colin McHugh. So I hope you're not right, Tim, because that's just going to pain me.
Yeah, I was going to say cutting to the chase in that situation could hurt, I think, Rich.
And the first one, Tim, was also the one I had was who was that again, Tim? I'm switching
Hutch.
Back and forth. Hutch, yeah. I saw Hutch pitch in that Yankee game as well. Yeah, the delivery is a little short strider, Tim, but man, his secondary pitches look good, and he's starting to command his pitches a lot better now, 2 years removed from Tommy John surgery. So I think it's all going to come together for Drew Hutchinson.
I totally agree.
My second guy, Tim, might not be 200, but I think it's going to be a strikeout, and then it's going to depend on how many strikeouts he's going to have. Excuse me, how many innings he's going to have. Taijuan Walker. I did get a chance to catch a game with him. Tim, he was hitting 99 miles an hour. So let's say the jugs gun that they had wherever he was pitching, it was in Arizona somewhere, and they use jugs guns out there, and that's usually hot up a mile or two per hour. So let's say he was topping out at 97 miles an hour. He's ditched his cutter, which wasn't a very good pitch, and his curveball was coming in at 77 miles an hour. So it was a 20-mile-an-hour difference between his curveball and his fastball. Tim, he was dominating.
No concerns about the shoulder, Rich?
Well, the stride, he's lengthened out his stride a little bit, so I'm not seeing as much torque coming back into his shoulder. So, again, it was on television. I wasn't there live. It looked like his delivery was starting to smooth out a little bit, and that was my problem last year, was that short striding that we see a little bit with Drew Hutchinson, but I thought I saw a longer stride with him. So that's kind of my my assessment there.
Okay, sounds good to me.
Yeah, it's interesting, Tim, because, you know, we got lambasted on Monday because we called Zach Wheeler one of our big sleepers in last week's sleeper podcast. And then, of course, he blows out his elbow and is gone for the season. He hasn't had surgery yet, but it seems like that's where it's leading. I think, Tim, when it gets down to Tommy John surgery, and we can talk about it every week, but there's a 50-50 chance, let's just throw it out there, that a guy before he's been in the league 2 or 3 years is going to blow out his elbow.
Well, yeah, and you know what? I can't see why we're taking the heat, because that was our 2016 sleepers, wasn't it, Rich?
It is sad, Tim. I mean, it just is. It's awful what's happening. And college pitchers, a college pitcher was going to go in the top 10, blew out his elbow. I saw somebody having to go to get his elbow looked at this week. So it's just continuing. And it's a really sad state of affair in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt it is. And, you know, for those out there that got damaged or hurt at all by our prediction, hey, I got hurt worse than probably anybody in the world on that one, and I'm scrambling for replacements even as we speak. I've got my first bids in on the waiver wire, so it's certainly not a case of not putting our money where our mouth is. Now all we have to do is search the wire for those replacements.
Yeah, I had him in two leagues, Tim, and
yes,
one was my NFBC slow draft league, and, you know, I did have Dylan G, so at least I got a pitcher out there. So, but it's just a tough thing, and, you know, I think these hard throwers, it's just becoming apparent if you're going to throw in the mid-90s and the Garrett Coles of the world, the Taijuan Walkers, you know, one of those guys is going to probably blow out his elbow in the next couple of years. Who's going to beat him? You can't really look at mechanics. You can't look at anything. You just, one of them's going to blow out his elbow.
Well, yeah. And on top of that, today, apparently, Hunjin Ryu is going back to LA because he was scheduled to throw catch today and couldn't do it without pain. So there might be some real serious issues happening with Ryu in that shoulder.
I agree with you, Tim. I haven't said a lot about blank yet this year, but you know, I just don't think he'll do well.
David Ortiz. At some point in time, it has to happen. Age is going to catch up with him, and I'm not bullish on Ortiz repeating what he's done the past couple of years. I think this is the start of the gradual decline.
Mine is Yasmani Tomas. Maybe I have mentioned this before, Tim. It's not a third baseman. The swing isn't very good. I'm worried about Yasmani Tomas. I drafted him, I think, number four, the fourth player off the board in a redraft league in a dynasty. I didn't like the pick when I did it, but I took him because that was the right place to take him. And I just don't like what I'm seeing, Tim. I'm not liking what I'm hearing from people that are seeing him, scouts that are seeing him firsthand. And they're telling me he's just either he is out of shape from a baseball playing situation. The swing is all off. He's late on everything. He's trouble picking up spin and picking up breaking pitches. And they think he might actually start in the minor leagues.
Well, yeah, but on a positive note, apparently he's looked rather good at third base, hasn't he?
No, he's a terrible third base, Tim. So nothing's working for him. I heard he looked terrible in the outfield. I mean, it's not good.
Well, you know what? When you look at that outfield, if they're forced to go Tomas and Trumbo on the two edges, my heart and feelings go out to A.J. Pollock in center field.
Yeah, I think A.J. Pollock, I think he's down here somewhere, Tim. I think he's really going to have a nice breakout year this year. Tim, sure, Chris, here's the next one. Sure, Chris Bryant, Jorge Soler, Jack Peterson, Dalton Pompey, Steven Susan, Ruzny Castile are all going to compete for Rookie of the Year. But my sleeper vote in the AL is blank and the NL is blank.
Well, I got three for each. I got to decide which one I'm going to pick. But I got to go with Mr. VW Van and Daniel Norris for the AL. And coming out of nowhere, because he hasn't signed yet, I'm going to go with Hector Olivera in the NL.
Why do you think he's going to sign with an NL team?
Well, because so far it appears that the three teams interested are San Diego, the Dodgers, and Oakland. And I think the Dodgers are going to offer up the most cash and slide him into third base.
The thing I find a little interesting about him, Tim, is that it seemed like that he was going to sign very, very quickly. And now he's been declared a free agent now for two, maybe three, going on 3 weeks. And it's like nothing's happened.
Well, yeah, he changed agents, I think, and that pushed the process back a bit, Rich.
Yeah, possibly you're right there. So, Tim, I also had Daniel Norris. It looks like, Timmy, he's going to get the starting nod, and I'm telling you, I've seen this kid pitch a lot. This is a real deal guy, and I would be taking him a few rounds early in a redraft league, Tim. I think his stuff is flat out nasty. When he first got drafted, he could not control the ball at all. His mechanics have all been fixed. This guy has a chance to be very, very special. And again, I say it, I'll say it again. It's not going to be this year, probably not next year. He has a chance to be the best left-handed pitcher in all of baseball. The stuff is that good.
That is some impressive. The other two names I had in there, just to toss out there, one is Francisco Lindor, and the other is Ryan Rue.
You're not giving up on Ryan Rue, are you?
My Scottish heritage is coming to the fore, laddie.
Well, on my Yasmani Tomas, I'm going to throw a little bit of a wild card, a little bit of a curveball. Jake Lamb, third base in Arizona. I like him a lot. It's a really nice player. Brandon Drury's actually had a really nice spring as well.
Yeah,
but I like Jake Lamb a lot, and the guy can hit. And I think if Tomas starts in the minors or they rightly put him out in the outfield, I think it's Jake Lamb's job, and I think there could be something.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's a little bit of depth happening in Arizona at third base, and I definitely like that pick. My other two from the NL, Raisel Iglesias in Cincinnati, and just because nobody's ever done it before, I'll go John Gray with the Rockies.
Ooh, I like that John Gray a lot. A dominating effort his first time out, and it got hit up a little bit in the first inning, a second effort, Tim, and then he settled down. Again, I've had scouts texting me, Tim. They love John Gray. They wish he didn't play for Colorado, which I agree with, because he is a bit of a fly ball pitcher, but man, that stuff is top of the rotation.
Yeah. So there's an interesting crop of rookies out there. After you get away from all the big names, there's an awful lot of good young talent out there, and it's going to be interesting to see how everything unfolds this year, Rich.
And you can find those big names at prospect361.com, where we talk about AL Impact and NL Impact rookie players. So that's my plug for my site.
That's our first advertisement of the year. Well done.
There you go. I had to pay myself, Tim. Mike Trout will hit blank home runs and strike out blank times in 600 at bats. I'm assuming he'll get 600 at bats about what he's done the last couple of years. Timmy, he hit 36 home runs last year and struck out on 184 times and absolutely is murdering the ball this spring.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 42 home runs and strike out 160 times and win the AL MVP going away.
Yeah, I had him at 400 home runs, Tim, and I also had him dropping his strikeout totals to 175. I do think there's going to be swing and miss in his game. But, Tim, if you throw him a fastball low, I've never seen anybody be able to jack something that far. I mean, it is unbelievable. You can beat him up in the zone, and he's working on that. That's his hole. But, man, down in the zone, Tim, it is remarkable. He can hit ball 450 feet if it's down in the zone. He's got such strength and such great backspin on the ball.
Well, yeah, I remember the one he hit last year, and I think it was Kansas City. And I didn't think that one was going to ever come down. And he almost golfed that one. Beautiful swing. But it was another low pitch, and he got all of it. And you know, how old is Mike Trout, by the way? 23,
Tim. I don't know. I think it was, maybe it was ESPN. I thought it was MLB Network. But Ken Griffey Jr. had, I don't know if a trial show or something, where he was going to go out and basically be Ken Griffey Jr. with players and basically spend the day with them and help them with their swing and stuff like that. And the first show, at least the one I saw, he was with Mike Trout. And he was basically saying, they did video and like help Mike and so forth. And he was saying, you're getting beat up in the zone. And Trout was like, yeah, I know. And yeah, so they talked about all these kind of things. So I know he's working on stopping, trying to get beat up in the zone. And this kid's just an amazing workhorse. So if anybody can close down that hole, he can. Tim, if he closes down that hole, dude, he could hit 50 home runs.
Yeah, I was going to say it's scary to think what the potential could be if he can find a way to, like you said, plug that gap.
Tim, I'm going to fill in this blank. I'll let you come right after this. I love this particular question. I'll stop whatever I'm doing to watch blank when he comes up to bat. And Tim, here's my answer. Chris Bryant.
That is very, very, very interesting.
Eight home runs, Tim. He's played in like 9 games.
There's only one problem, though, Rich. They don't have a DH in the NL.
He's going to play third base. This shoulder thing, and it is a mess. We're going to talk about Chris Bryant a little bit, but Tim, he's what Yonah Cespedes was when he first came up. He's what Mike Trout was when he first came up. You got to watch because he could hit a ball 450 feet and just be amazing. So I think it's a guy that you have to stop and watch.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that assessment, but I would rather watch a guy playing in the bigs, and I'm going to go with Giancarlo Stanton. when he's at the dish, okay, he's already hit them 450, 460, 470, and I will definitely stop what I'm doing to watch Stanton at the plate.
Remember you hit the home run last year, Tim? It was about 20 feet off the ground, a line drive to the opposite field, and I don't think it had ever been done before, and it was just like a missile that he hit off the end of the bat, and it was a home run.
Yeah, it was like, I think it had maybe a second and a half airtime, something like that.
I know, it was amazing. Tim, we're going to get on to our questions. The first one is from Drew Pomerantz, it's with a T, so I'm assuming he's not the pitcher from Oakland. He says, thanks to you and Tim for the fantasy advice. With your help on keepers and some late acquisitions, Anthony Rendon and Cowboy Calhoun, I ended up winning my league last year. Now I'm hoping you can give me some advice on keepers for this year. I play in a 14-team, 7x7 league, normal 5+5 plus walks and total bases for hitters, quality starts and losses for pitchers, where we keep 10 players. I've got 6 keepers who I think are a lock. Kershaw, Bumgarner, Anthony Rendon, Anthony Rizzo, Bryce Harper, Carlos Santana. He is eligible for catcher. I'm trying to decide on the four remaining. I can choose from some high upside young guys, Mookie, Jason Hayward, Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, or more established guys, lower upside guys such as Kyle Seager, which I'm not sure that's a lower upside guy, Yonas Cespedes, and Cole Calhoun. Don't tell Tim I put Cowboy in that category. Or pitchers Matt Harvey, Alex Cobb, which, boy, we got to talk about him, and Sonny Gray. Tim, who are your other four out of these guys?
Well, first I have to say tisk, tisk, tisk on Cole Calhoun. True. Not very nice. And I was the guy that okayed you, you know, joining the Facebook page. Okay, I clicked the button. I saw Drew Palmer. And I said, okay, we got to have this guy in here. And right away he slams me with Cole. But anyhow, I'm going to look at Betts and Hayward. When I look at the keepers, he's only got one outfielder. So let's go with Betts and Hayward from the first group. And Seager and Cole Calhoun, we got to go with Calhoun as the other two. I'll go with those four, and I like Sonny Gray, but with Kershaw and Bumgarner, you've already got two of the best in the biz. I would skip pitchers, build your outfield now so you don't get stuck at outfield later, and then fill in your pitching at the draft.
So you're going to leave Matt Harvey unprotected.
Yes, I am.
I guess you have to do that with you got Bummy and Clayton Kershaw there, but that's tough to do. Would you keep Carlos Santana? I don't know if you said if it's a two-catcher league or one-catcher league. If it's a one-catcher league, would you keep Carlos Santana?
Yeah, I would. I think he hit, 27, 28. He was closing in on 30 home runs last year. I think when you start looking at, it's a 14-team league. Where does Santana fit in as far as the catching situation? Top five? Top six?
Oh, sure. Sure, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so in a 14-team, one or two, I think you've got to keep that power at catcher.
Tim, I love our listeners because when you start to read these questions, you realize they're pretty much keeping and they all have on their team guys that we've talked about all the time. And they're all winning their leagues, which is, I don't know, I feel really, really good about that because, I mean, that's quite frankly, we don't get paid for this show. We love to talk. We love talking baseball. But I got to tell you, it's really gratifying when people actually are listening and absorbing some of the stuff we're taking. And we're clearly helping them win leagues, which to me is, I mean, that there's no greater satisfaction that it's some validation that we have some idea what we're doing.
Well, yeah, it's awesome. You know, every time I see, I picked up Cole Calhoun, it brings a total smile to my face, Rich. It really does.
Thanks, Rich. Hi, hey, Rich. Thanks for the help. Keeper auction leagues with $260 budget. We can keep our players forever, but if they are kept, their price increases by $3 every year. I get to choose 8 major league players and 1 prospect, Buxton or Sano, to keep. These prices are adjusted for the 2015 season. Which 8 players and 1 prospect do you keep? So first of all, on the prospect, I think it's Buxton over Sano, correct?
No, actually, I'm keeping Sano over Buxton.
Really?
And the reason for that is that Sano is at $4, and Buxton is at $15.
Oh, I didn't check that. Tim, you're right. That is a very good observation.
Yeah. So you know, I look at the $4 versus $15, $3 increases. Assuming Buxton gets a cup of coffee this year in September, you're looking at heading into next year with an $18 player. Yeah, he could earn it, but I think I'd rather take my chances on Sano. At third base, outfield, for 7 next year would be my train of thought, Rich.
Okay, let's get these other guys. Anthony Rendon at $5, you got to keep him. Ian Desmond at 30. Albert Pujols at 24. Matt Kemp at 24. Kyle Seager at 9. I'm going to say that's the second guy. Carlos Santana at 22. GP at 4. Matt Harvey at 10. Alex Wood at 4. Jeff Samardzija at 4. And Jacob DeGrom at 4. So I've given them 2, Tim. I'm assuming you agree with Kyle Seager and Anthony Rendon.
Yeah, they're both. Check them off the list. They're done.
So I've done 2, Tim. You do the other 6.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate that. Okay, down at the bottom of his notes, he says, I only want to keep a maximum of 3 pitchers. He's got 4 in contention. I'm taking Harvey, Samardzija and DeGrom. Alex Wood, sorry, you don't make the cut. You would be the four. So I'm taking those.
Not when Samardzija's $4. Not when Samardzija's the same price as Alex Wood. You're right.
Yeah, and DeGrom's $4 as well. Harvey at 10. No, you got to keep Harvey at $10.
So that's three. So you got three more bats, Tim. I'm curious what you're going to do with these guys.
Okay, well, I look at the options, and Gregory Polanco, no-brainer at $4 in the outfield. There's one. And that leaves you with a choice of Santana, Kemp, Pujols, and Desmond at 30. Desmond at 30, too high for me. Kemp at 24. I think I'd rather have Albert at 24. So I'm going to take Albert at 24, and I'm going to take Carlos Santana as a catcher at 22. Might be a little high, but I like the 22 on Santana more than the 24 on Kemp and 30 on Desmond.
Yeah, Tim, it's interesting because, I mean, Ian Desmond, if I look at that, maybe he and Anthony Rendon are the two best players on this list. But when you're starting to think about a guy who's more than 10% of your budget, I mean, when do you start to waffle on that? Is there some magical number there? I know Mike Trout is much different than an Ian Desmond. When do you start, when you're keeping keepers that have a price tag associated with it, when they have a budget set? How do you play that out in your head?
Well, basically, if I can, one of the keys for me is, what's it going to cost me this year? Now, if I can buy them back for less, then it basically becomes a no-brainer, doesn't it?
True. I wonder. I mean, Ian Desmond going for $30 in a, he doesn't say if this is a 12, let's assume this is a 12-team league in a redraft, that's probably too much. He's probably going to go in the mid-20s.
Yeah, I would think somewhere between 26 and 29 would be, you know, would be my guess. I didn't check the prices today in the Toad NL only, but that would be just a guess on my behalf. And, you know, 30, you're looking at 33. I think when you look at the odds of turning a profit, I think Pujols at 24 has a little bit better odds. And hey, if you want Desmond, target him. You're probably not going to pay, even if things get ugly. You know, are you going to pay more than 30 heading into the auction this year? I think probably not.
Here's a strategy question, Tim, and this is it came in today on my site, so I got it out. Hopefully, you got this one. Rich and Tim, love the show. I'm set to draft 1 week from today in a keeper league, which only allows you to keep players drafted after the 15th round. I'm currently keeping V-Mart from the 17th round. Good for you. And again, Anthony Rendon. Everybody's got Anthony Rendon on their team in the 19th round. Amazing value there. I won the league last year, which means I own the 10th pick in the draft. The only player that is currently unavailable in the top 10 is Mike Trout. Everyone else in the top 20 is still on the board. You know, Tim, what his strategy should be at 10 and 11. There's going to be a lot of guys there.
Yeah, there sure is. I would look to McCutchen. I would take him with my first pick. And if he does have the first pick, then he's got to wait until it comes back around to him, if I'm not mistaken, for his two picks. I was a little confused with the 10-11. He'd only have one pick, wouldn't he? You there, Rich?
Tim? Hello, Tim. We have lost Mr. McLeod. Tim is not on the line. So we have lost the great Tim McLeod. So I think the strategy there is, if I'm taking a look at 10 and 11 and I'm looking in terms of who is there, I couldn't hear what Tim was saying. Arcian sitting currently as an ADP of 10. Jose Bautista there. So I would take one of those guys. In fact, I don't know if I wouldn't mind having those as back-to-back bookends there. I also like Anthony Rizzo sitting there as maybe get some pop in my first base. So I would definitely go with power there and try to take the two guys there that can give me the most amount of power. Let me see if we can get Mr. McLeod back on the air. Timmy, are you still there?
Yeah, I hung up and dialed back in. It went totally dead, Rich.
Okay, so I've answered that question, Tim, to the best of my ability. Let's move on because we've got about 10 minutes left. And just a couple of questions here. Koji Uehara, Timmy, pulls a hammy. Who do you handcuff with Uehara? Is that going to be Eddie Mojica?
Well, I think it is, but he's had a rough spring. He's been getting smacked around pretty good. I think he's sporting an ERA just a pinch shy of 7 right about now. Meanwhile, Tazawa, who seemingly folds under pressure when you put him in after the 8th inning, is sporting a 2.25 ERA, whip under 1. Hey, Tazawa is the best pitcher, but I still think they give it to Mojica first shot. I don't know if Mojica will take it and run with it. So, you know, it's one of those situations where I would probably go Mojica, but I'd have Tazawa in the back of my mind constantly.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I'm there as well. Eddie Mojica had that really breakout year 2 years ago when the guy in St. Louis went down. The name escapes me, Tim. So he had that really good breakout. And it was terrible last year. So I don't know. Maybe he's good. Maybe not. Let's talk about closers, though, Tim. Brett Cecil looks like he's the closer now in Toronto. Do you trust him?
Well, you know, as it sits right now, you look at the other options, and I think in Brett we trust. Gibbons has said he's the guy, and he's going to be ready. So I would have to think, you know, at this stage of the game, he's as trustful as as any of the iffy, you know, type closers out there. Actually, based on who's behind him in that pen, I'm feeling rather bullish on Brett Cecil.
I don't know if I like him, Tim. I mean, I'm a little worried about him. I'm bullish because he's going to get the job, but I don't know if I trust him, Tim. I'm just not there.
Do we trust any closers not named Kimbrel, Holland, and Chapman?
I trust Mark Melancon.
2 years ago, wasn't he a seventh inning guy in Boston?
Yeah, he was really good last year, Tim. And, you know, he's got okay stuff. He's got really good command. So I think he'll be I can trust him. I think you can trust Houston Street. He's not a sexy name, Tim. He doesn't give you a lot of strikeouts, but he's been a lockdown closer for years.
Yeah, I agree with you on Houston Street, definitely. And he doesn't get nearly the love. Maybe it's because he's an injury waiting to happen or is perceived as such. But, yeah, Street's a closer. Yeah, I agree.
Let's go to Cincinnati, Tim. And I saw this, and I had to do a double take because I didn't realize Jason Marquis was still in Major League Baseball. I really didn't. I'm not making a joke out of that because he used to be one of those streaming pitchers years ago. And I don't even think he played last year. And here he is, Tim. He's made the starting rotation for the Cincinnati Reds. I mean, how bad is your team when you got Jason Marquis in your starting rotation?
Let's just say the future is not so bright that the pitching coach is wearing shades. How's that?
Yeah, I'll say. Tim, did you hear somebody tweeted at me today that the Mets, in fact, named Bartolo Colon as the opening day starter? If I'm a Mets fan, and I know there's tons of Mets fans out there, they have to just be really disappointed. Again, it's one game. I get that. But it's the symbolic. It's the beginning of the season, Tim. You're all excited. You go to the ballpark. You pay $150 or whatever it's going to be to go to the first game, and Fat Bart is out there. There's something wrong about that, Tim.
Something very, very wrong when you've got one of the best young arms in the game coming back from Tommy John. You've got the National League Rookie of the Year, sitting on the bench. It just does not seem right at all, Rich.
I would think they could have Terry Collins and say, you're fired. That's a dumb move. You're fired. I mean, anybody who thinks like that, I haven't heard the rationale yet. It's just, you said it best, Tim. You've got one of the best young arms coming back. And what, that'd be a great story to have him come back and pitch the first game or the rookie of the year. And you have Fat Bart out there.
Well, yeah, somebody needs to have the DA removed from their forehead.
Tim, we go back to the Reds, and we all thought that Rossiel Iglesias was going to be potentially the closer in waiting for Aroldis Chapman. But now the Reds are saying, no, we're going to pitch him in the starting rotation. He's got four. This is what has been interviewed. Four quality pitches. So that's probably two quality pitches and two okay pitches. Good control. He's pitched 7 2/3 innings of scoreless baseball. This is when I wrote the notes up. It could have changed. 6 strikeouts, 3 walks. Tim, Rossiel Iglesias, you mentioned the guy that you thought would be rookie of the year. You're all in on Iglesias, I'm assuming.
I like what I'm seeing, Rich, and he's certainly going to get the opportunities. I am curious, though, because I'm seeing his height listed at anywhere between 5'11 and 6'2", and his weight anywhere between 165 and 185. Could somebody please pull out a measuring tape and put this guy on a scale for me?
Yeah, it's amazing, Tim. He's a short guy, so it's closer to 5'10", 5'11", than 6'2". So he will have playing problems, so he'll be a little homer-prone, and being in that bandbox in Cincinnati, that's the one worry I would have about him. There's just not – I mean, 7 2/3 innings doesn't give us any chance for, you know, what kind of pitcher he's going to be. But don't be surprised if he winds up giving up a ton of home runs.
No, that wouldn't shock me at all. I'm looking at Iglesias in a couple leagues where I have to replace Wheeler, deeper leagues. And, you know, I think when you start looking at, you know, a 6th, 7th starting pitcher, he's definitely worth an investment at this stage of the game. And let's see how it unfolds.
Totally agree. Timmy, we got Alex Cobb had some forearm tightness. Now, there was the Tout Wars, the AL and NL auction leagues went this week, and Alex Cobb would have probably have been one of the better pitchers off the board, and I don't know where he went, but taking somebody like that out of the American League, which is just doesn't have a ton of great pitching, and a lot of the pitching's in the NL, I mean, that's a big blow to Tampa. That's a big blow to fantasy owners who drafted him early.
You there, Rich?
I am there. Can you hear me, Tim?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it just broke up and I lost you there for a second. Cobb, I'm avoiding like the plague. I just... At this stage of the game, how do you start investing in Alex Cobb in the range that he's been going at? And I haven't seen him falling all that much yet. I am seriously concerned. And if you're looking at drafting a number two, that's a lot of risk. It really is, at least as far as I'm concerned.
I totally agree with you, Tim, and I would be avoiding him. What about Nate Karns as a possible pickup there?
Nate's, I can't find the plate Karns. Is that the one you're talking about, Rich?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's got okay stuff. I mean, he's not pitched pretty well. He got blown up the last time he pitched, but before that he pitched okay in spring training. So you're basically saying no, if it's Nate can't find the plate Karns.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, in an AL only, yeah, you've got to do what you got to do and get somebody on your roster who's going to contribute, and you've got to take that chance. In mixed leagues, I think there are better options.
So, Tim, I have moved positions. I was sitting on a little chair. I was looking down, and I saw where my Wi-Fi connection was getting weaker. So now I'm in the bathroom, Tim, and I'm standing in a mirror looking at myself and looking at the computer with Alex Cobb's picture on it. So this is what I'm doing, Tim.
You know, Rich, the only thing I can say is you're flush with success.
There you go. I can flush the toilet. Remember we had Marcus on about a year ago? He flushed the toilet because he was in the bathroom as well.
Yeah, I remember that one vaguely. Yeah, we've had our fair share of moments, haven't we?
Tim, so observations, quick observations. Again, running a little light on time. We're only going to go for an hour today. Some of the major leaguers that I saw that I found interesting, I did get a chance to see Jung Ho Kang with the Pirates for the first time. Tim, I got to tell you, I was not impressed. Brick hands out in the infield. He played shortstop. I mean, just really struggled to get to the ball. And when he did not have soft hands at all. It was very, very stiff. I did not like what I saw him in the infield. I don't know if you've ever seen him swing the bat. He swings the bat almost identical to Jose Bautista. He stands on one leg. And there ain't been many major league batters that have been able to pull that off. He gets tremendous leverage with that. But, man, he is going to be susceptible to off-speed pitches big time. He's not – I doubt he's Jose Bautista, who's got incredible hand-eye coordination. I didn't like it, Tim. I did not like Jung Ho Kang from what I saw.
Yeah, no, I've had an opportunity to break that swing down. He also lifts his front foot. He's got a double hitch in there as well. He's got a pivoting motion when his foot's in the air. High inside's going to beat him. Breaking stuff's going to beat him. Only time will tell, but I'm not bullish.
Yeah, even my wife was sitting there watching the game, and she goes, are you supposed to swing the bat like that? I go, no, you're not. That's not what you're supposed to do. So, and then I'm watching him. What's that?
You groove a fastball to him, he's going to hit it a mile.
He's going to hit it a mile because he's got so much torque in a swing. So he's going to pull everything. So it'll be fascinating. Tim, I got a chance to see Mookie Betts again. I swear to you, if he's not a star, I don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, this guy has got speed, great contact ability. He hasn't hit a home run. He hasn't sold any bases yet in the spring. But, man, the guy's just an exciting player, and he can really play defense. I think he's going to get the nod over Ruzny Castile in center field.
Right, yeah, it's entirely possible until he goes 0-for-4 one day, and all of a sudden, Victorino's in center field, Ortiz is in right field, and Castillo's DHing. That was sarcasm. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. It's a mess out there, Tim. Are you still just avoiding it like the plague?
Well, I just can't see. I love Betts. I picked him up last year based on your recommendation. I love Castillo. I think there's a lot of talent between both of them. But right now, he's still going, you know, those guys are going 6th, 7th, 8th round. And are you going to get 600 at-bats out of those two guys, Castillo and Betts? And I'm just not sure. So rather than investing and taking that chance, I'll take, if I want the speed, I'll take Leonis Martin 4 rounds later.
Hard to deny that, Tim. He is going very, very early. Still like the player a lot. Tim, we're going to talk about Alex Rodriguez, and that is the subject of our guest, the player, today. So I had a chance to see Alex Rodriguez in George Steinbrenner Field. And Tim, the part of our guest, the player, which I think is fun because I've given you the question ahead of time. I usually don't do this. In fact, I posted it on Facebook to see if you could get some help there. So when Alex Rodriguez came up to bat the first time, Tim, my question to you is, one, did he get lots of boos? Two, some boos, some cheers? More boos than cheers? Three, about the same boos and cheers the same? Number four, more cheers than boos? Or number five, all cheers? So, Tim, so again, here's the selection, all boos. More boos than cheers, about the same, more cheers than boos, or all cheers. What was it?
Well, you know, the consensus from the chat room was either 5 or 4. I'm going with 4 because, you know what, there's got to be one hater out there who's going to boo him just on principle. But I think he got more cheers than boos, so I'll go number 4.
Tim, unfortunately, you were wrong, and so is our listeners. He got more boos than cheers, maybe a little bit mixed 50-50, but I'm going to give it like a 40-60, 60 boos, 40 cheers. But the second time he came up, Tim, it was like 80 to 90% boos. The third time he came up, I didn't hear any cheers at all.
Well, what was the reaction when he hit his second home run this week, I wonder?
Probably cheers, Tim. I mean, if he played in George Steinbrenner Field, I'm sure it was cheers, but there was a lot of boos, man.
Well, and, you know, justifiably so. You know, how much time have we spent discussing the trials and tribulations of Alex Rodriguez in the past couple of years? And let's face it, there hasn't been a whole lot of good news to excite the public, Rich.
Tim, I got to tell you, he looked like Alex Rodriguez to me about 3 years ago. He looked pretty good. He was in shape. You know, his swing was it was slow, but it's been slow for the last few years. He was moving well. Dalton Pompey hit a hot shot to him at third base, and he snagged it well and threw him out. He looked better than I thought.
Well, you know, I still think he can hit 15-20 home runs this year if he gets the at-bats.
Will he get the at-bats, Tim?
I think he'll get enough to hit 15, yeah.
Tim, I also had a chance to see Steven Souza, who I love. I've seen him a lot, probably play, I'm going to say, 8 to 10 games in the minor leagues. I love everything about Steven Souza. He looked terrible. He was anxious on every pitch. It was like he wanted to hit it 800 feet. He was pressing, you know, you call it whatever you want him. He didn't look good.
The word comfortable didn't come into any sentences you were about to form. Is that what you're saying?
He looked like he just got called into the principal's office that said, if you screw up one more time, you got detention. It was like he was trying not to screw up one more time. And it was just, you know, I think they need to sit him down and go, you got the job. We don't have anybody else doing that. Just go out and be yourself. But Tim, he was anxious on everything. And he was like swinging at every pitch.
Well, yeah, that's not good. That's not good news, Rich. But the comforting thing is the fact that there's still another couple weeks to spring training, and hopefully somebody does exactly as you said, and just sits him down and says, "Hey, you, we're counting on you for power. Okay, you got the job. Just relax, do what you do, and things will come together."
Saw CC Sabathia in that same game, Tim. I saw the read the papers afterwards, and they said CC Sabathia was hitting 93 miles an hour. Tim, I had him hit 93 once. He was sitting 89 to 92. He still had the decent off-speed pitches, but he was not fooling anybody. And I think he gave up 2 runs in 3 innings or something like that. I think he got tagged later in the week too. CC Sabathia, not that he looked done. He looked very, very close to being done. He looked like the guy that was the last 2 years.
Well, and why should there be any change in the past 2 years, other than the fact that this year he put on a little bit more weight because he felt he was a little bit light last year, Rich?
The last guy, Tim, is Miguel Castro, right-handed pitcher. I think he's 6'5". That's what the press guy said, 190 pounds. He might have been 6'5", but he looked like 170 pounds. I mean, he was little. He was thin. But, Tim, man, an electric arm. So if your buddy Cecil doesn't work out and Miguel Castro makes the team, Tim, I'm just saying, keep that on the back. Keep that etched down in your kitchen table, as Lenny would say. I think there could be something there.
What about Ozuna? How does he work into that?
I don't know. I mean, I guess he's another option as well. I'm just telling you what I saw, Tim. And I saw a guy with an electric arm. The ball was dancing all over the place, and the Yankees had no idea what was coming.
Huh, interesting. Alex Meyer physique to boot, eh?
Yeah. No, Alex Meyer's a big guy. He's more of a – you saw the C.J. Edwards, right, when he played in the Arizona Fall League, that's what he looked like.
Okay.
So, remember, like a waist of like a 22-inch waist. It was ridiculous. It was like his pants were falling off of him.
Well, yeah, I was going to say it looked like somehow he snuck into Matt Adams' uniform for the day.
Tim, let's overreact to some spring training stats. We're going to wrap up here in the next 5 to 10 minutes. The first guy we've got to talk about is Chris Bryant, third base, Chicago White Sox, an ADP of 103. He's 12 for 25. These do not include today's stats. I didn't get a chance to take a look at that. Batting .480, 8 home runs, 7 strikeouts, 4 walks. Now, Tim, here's the question. Tony's always said that a prospect has his highest value before he plays his first game. And, you know, if you look statistically, he's probably right. But Mike Trout and Yasmin Puig and Bryce Harper, they break that mold. The question is, does Chris Bryant break that mold? Or do you try to trade a guy like Chris Bryant before he's actually been out there for his first at-bat?
Well, the problem with that is you've owned Bryant for a while. You've sat on him for a year plus. I think you've got to get an awfully good offer to be willing to part with Bryant, not only because of the skills, but because of the fact you've been chomping at the bit since the day you drafted this guy. He's done nothing but achieve all of the goals and then some in the minors. He's tearing it up in spring training. Just from an emotional tie, hey, you've got this guy. If you're going to part with him, you've got to get one heck of an offer, as far as I'm concerned, or you're going to see it right through to the end.
All right, let's talk about that, Mr. McLeod. You've walked right into my trap here, so I'm going to talk to. So let's talk first about a redraft league. Let's say you were fortunate enough to draft him, and he's got an ADP again of 103, 104. So let me give you a couple of players just above him, and let's just do one-for-one trade, Tim, to make it easy, okay? Would you, as the owner of Chris Bryant, give him up for these other players? Here's the first guy. 2 picks ahead of him, David Wright.
No.
four picks ahead of him, Colton Wong. So let's not play. Well, I guess think about the position eligibility. Colton Wong.
If I had third base covered and needed a middle infielder, I might consider that one.
Mark Trumbo. Mark Trumbo.
Not a hope.
Dustin Pedroia.
I wouldn't trade him for Colton Wong.
Yeah, it's true. He's going ahead. Tim, I'm looking at the ADPs here. Getting into the 90s, David Ortiz.
Who?
Okay. He's at 93. This is probably where it's going to get a little interesting, Tim. Yan Gomes.
No, I take Bryant still. The one thing about Bryant is,
really?
Based on what I've seen in the past week and a half, if you want Chris Bryant now, you best ought to be prepared to jump in about the fifth round. Because you wait any time after that, he's going to go off the board, Rich.
So in that ADP of 92, so if we're in a 15-team league, so that's 36. That's sixth round now. You're talking Jay Bruce, Matt Holliday, Hunter Pence. Well, he's injured. Cowboy Calhoun. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys, Tim, in that sixth round. So would you take Chris Bryant in front of those guys?
No, I wouldn't. But if you want him, that's where you're going to have to grab him, because he is moving up. Every time he hits a home run in spring training, he moves up four draft slots, Rich.
That's fair. Tim, let's talk about a dynasty league. You drafted him number one last year. You've had him. You're all excited. Clearly, in a dynasty league, you're going to have to give up a little bit more. So now we're going to do one for one. I want to make it a little bit interesting, Tim. Let's see what kind of metal you have here.
Okay.
Would you trade Chris Bryant in a dynasty league straight up for Jose Abreu?
No.
Wow. You'd rather have Chris Bryant.
Oh, sorry. The other way around. Sorry. Yes, I would. I would take Jose Abreu.
Okay.
Not even.
But you had to think, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because I'm working back asswardly here, I think.
Okay. Edwin Encarnacion. Think of the age, Tim, in a dynasty league.
Yeah, that's what I. Yeah. And the wonky back, apparently, that E5 has. You know what? I would probably do it over E5. I would.
So you'd rather have Chris Bryant. I would agree. Here's one, Tim. This is gonna be painful. Anthony Rendon.
No, I keep Rendon.
Okay. Anthony Rizzo, otherwise known as Anthony Rizzo.
Nah, Rizzo's going to be a 35-40 home run guy for the next 10 years. I'm not going to take a chance on Bryant.
Josh Donaldson.
No, you know what? I'd probably look to Bryant.
I would too. Final guy, Tim. These are all guys in the second round. This is kind of telling you the value of Chris Bryant in a dynasty league. Last guy. It's a tough one, Tim. Hanley Ramirez, who is 31.
Yeah. Easy for me, Bryant.
Let me throw another one at you. Ryan Braun.
Easy, Bryant.
Yep. So Bryant's, in terms of bats, power bats, he's probably sitting, if you take Giancarlo Stanton, Goldschmidt, Miguel Cabrera, Jose Abreu, Bautista Encarnacion, we're waffled on Encarnacion. Then you got Rizzo. He's falling right after Rizzo in terms of power bats. That's like the number seventh or eighth power bat off the board. He hasn't played yet an at-bat, an inning of baseball.
Well, you know, he's tore it up at every level. He's tearing it up this spring. It's a fact that Chris Bryant, I believe, is going to be a home run machine. The only thing that's going to hold Bryant back is the ability to play third base. And this year, the clock, he's not going to start the season, I don't think, on the big league roster. Even though I said I thought if he tore it up, he would. There is no, from a business perspective, there's no reason for the Cubs to have him up. None whatsoever. He's not going to, you know, that first couple weeks, whatever it is, Rich, is not going to make a whole lot of difference. And let's face it, the kid needs some work at third base. How many games has he played at third base this spring? None?
Well, a couple of games, Tim, but he played third base all last. He's a good third baseman. It has nothing to do with his baseball ability. It's all about the business side of stuff. And if you're the Chicago Cubs and you have to believe that Chris Bryant has MVP caliber kinds of tools, which means by the time he is hitting salary arbitration and all that, he's going to be close to a $20 million player. You want that guy before he goes off to free agency. You want him for 7 years and not 6 years at somewhat team control type of values before he hits a free agent. Now, we know why Boris is all over. Get him out of there. Get him to start the season. But it's 2 weeks, Tim. It's 12 days. And
I hear what you're saying. And you know what? Boris is doing his job. He'd be neglect. Mm-hmm. He'd be neglect in his job if he didn't do exactly what he's doing. And I think it's a smart move. Why not throw it out there to the public? It's certainly creating additional leverage for his situation by making it a public issue. But the bottom line is there's a CBA in place and there are rules to the game. And he is going to fall just like everybody else into those rules of the game. And if I was running the Cubs, guess what? Chris, pack your bags, have your suitcase ready, have one ready in Iowa as well, because once we get 2 weeks in, hey, you're moving back this way. But that's the business of baseball.
Rapid fire, Tim. Micah Johnson, 14 for 30, 467, two stolen bases, six strikeouts, three walks. Should we get excited about him?
Moderately, but not as much as some are, I think, right now.
I'm all in on Micah. Not all in. I'm very excited about Micah Johnson. Mookie Betts, in on him, Tim, or not?
I'm in as Mookie Betts, the player. I'm not in with the current situation in Boston.
I'm defying the odds, Tim. I'm in. Jock Peterson, 17 for 36, 472, three home runs, two stolen bases, eight strikeouts, three walks. Are you in on Jock Peterson, Tim? You believe in it or not?
The 472 will be the cumulative total of his batting average for April and May. Yeah, I think he's a good player, but he's not going to hit much over 230, I don't think, this year, Rich.
Yeah, I think the power is going to be there. I completely agree, Tim. I think the power and speed will be there, but he's going to struggle, swing and miss. A.J. Pollock, Tim, another young kid. These are all young guys that we're talking about because there's no point in talking about Mike Trout or Miguel Cabrera at this point. A.J. Pollock, 12 for 34, 353 batting average, three stolen bases, five strikeouts, three walks. Tim, I think we're both all in on A.J. Pollock, or we're very high on A.J. Pollock.
Yeah, I like Pollock. I really do, and I don't think he's getting nearly the love in drafts that he should. I think he's going to hit for a decent average. It's going to be a little bit of pop, and he's going to run.
Here's another runner, Tim, that getting no press at all, and we know the injuries that Coco Crisp has, and that is Billy Burns, 17 for 41, a 415 batting average, four stolen bases, four strikeouts, three walks. Billy Burns is on fire. Tim, does he get enough at bats to make a difference in a fantasy team?
No. Last year, at AAA, he batted 193 and 109 at bats. In 1,422 minor league at-bats, guess how many home runs this guy has, Rich?
Probably one.
you're half right. Two.
Two, okay.
We're looking at Ben Revere with poor skills with the stick. So I think Craig Gentry is going to end up with the lion's share of at-bats in Oakland.
Craig Gentry, Tim. He's a platoon guy. He's a righty, so he's on the wrong side of a platoon. He can't go well against right on right.
Well, I think he'll go equally as well as Billy Burns.
All right. Well, interesting. We might have to come back and do a bet on Billy Burns next week. Let's do three quick pitchers, Tim. Drew Pomerantz, not the guy who rode into us, nine innings, two ERA, 15 strikeouts, Tim, 15 strikeouts in nine innings, three walks. A highly touted prospect when he came out of college. Got shuffled around from Cleveland, then off to Colorado, and now with Oakland. You love the place that he's pitching, Tim. Do you love the player?
Yeah, if he can keep his temper in check. I believe he had an issue with a broken hand relating to some hardware that he decided to move in an abrupt fashion, if that's the right way of putting it. Keep the temper in check, Drew. I like everything else about your game.
287 ADP, you got to start jumping on the Drew Pomeranz train. I think there's something there. Tim, are you on Clay Buchholz? 10 innings pitched, 180 ERA, 12 strikeouts, 2 walks. Tim, I told you this guy was going to be good. Do you believe in me yet?
In his last start against the vaunted Atlanta Braves offense, he allowed 4 runs in 4 innings pitched. Pass.
Oh, I didn't think that must have been yesterday, Tim, because I just updated this.
I think it might have been yesterday. It was sometime this week. Anyways, he was looking good up until that start. And you know what? If you're going to allow 4 runs in 4 innings against the Braves, I'm not convinced yet, Rich. I'm not buying.
Last guy, Trevor Bauer. Tim, remember Trevor Bauer's 15 innings pitched, 15 and a third innings pitch. You don't like the 5.87 ERA, but 11 strikeouts, no walks, Tim.
Didn't he allow, was it 3 or 4 consecutive triples in a game this week? How does any starting pitcher throwing overhand, okay, allow 3 consecutive triples? I don't care if he hasn't walked anybody. They're tattooing him all over the place. So right now, you want to take a flyer, draft Bauer, but he's all over the place, isn't he?
He is a little bit, Tim, I would agree. And the delivery is very violent. It's very tough to repeat it, but he's got a great arm. So I agree with you on that. Timmy, let's wrap it up. What do you got going on this week?
What do I have? I'm off on vacation this week. The oldest lad's having a wedding due coming up, a bash this Saturday, so I'm heading into Thunder Bay. Other than that, I got a couple drafts, and I'm just going to be kicking back and looking forward to spring training coming to an end, and on with the real games, Rich.
We've got 2 weeks left, Timmy. Then we've got real games. Well, actually, 2 weeks from today, we'll have whoever's playing in the opening day game, which will be totally exciting. Tim, I write for prospect361.com. For if you want to read about all my prospect work, there'll be stuff coming up very shortly as I've collected tons of note back out to spring training, the backfields again this week after I get out of Nashville, and more to come there. Tim, I've enjoyed it. Sorry about the abbreviated show, but the guy, Tim, that likes it for an hour, it's going to be an hour.
Well, yeah, he ain't going to have to cruise around the block this week, Rich. Have a great time in Nashville. Work on your accent. And hopefully next week we'll keep the rest of the masses happy and go our regular 90 minutes or so.
There you go, Tim. We'll see you soon.
Okay, take care, Rich. Winter.